I have to tell you, the birthday card that I was just given has a horse on the front. Y'all know I love horses. It says, "Live like someone left the gate open." Yeah. I think I will. I think I am. Perfect. That's a perfect expression. So there was a discussion in our Unity Ministers private page on Facebook. Great place for discussions. Get a bunch of ministers together in one virtual room. It gets fun. So we were talking about what's a proper attire for the platform. And I said, this? They said, well, you don't wear sneakers on the platform, do you? Yeah. Come live down here in Wimberley for a while, and you will discover that you dress for comfort. So I'm pretending like I'm going out on a sailing boat today, okay? So I'm chill. I remember this has nothing to do with anything, but the first summer that I was here in Austin, one of the first weddings that I performed here was in the Rose Garden at Zilker, which was beautiful. So remember, this is the 1990s, and all us gals wore, like, suits, right? We all wore suits. Nice lady suits. So this wedding was at noon on August the 5th. I had just moved to Austin from Kansas City, so hey. Pantyhose. Silk suit with lining. Stupid. And I've never done another wedding that way in Central Texas. So I am hearing, though, and maybe I'm late to the party, I noticed yesterday that one of my blooming sage bushes had all kinds of buds about to pop open. And there is maybe it's an old wives' tale, maybe it's true, that when the sage is blossoming, it means that rain is on its way. Let's just hold that to be true. Why don't we? Some of you horticulture people may say that's ridiculous, but let's just pretend, okay? So today's Daily Word reading was about generosity. And as I was putting this lesson together, it became clear to me, as we've been studying compassion and empathy in our Wednesday night class, specifically this last week, that compassion and generosity are two pieces of the same cloth. Generosity, we think about as giving. We think about it as our generous hearts opening up to express itself in thought, words, and deeds. And compassion is also the giving of ourselves in a different way. And so The question that I put forth today is one that Brené Brown asks. What's the most effective way to be in connection with and in service to someone who is struggling without taking on their issues as our own? There's a big difference. It's one thing to take on someone else's issues and feel like you need to solve their problem, or feel like you need to judge how they're feeling, or you need to judge their experience, or you need to fix their experience. Because we are solution-oriented people. Compassion is not about solution. Compassion, she says, is fueled by understanding and accepting that we're all made of strength and struggle. No one is immune to pain or suffering. Compassion is not a practice of better than, or I can fix you. It's a practice based in the beauty and pain of shared humanity. So today we're looking at that in us which longs to be expansive, that in us which longs to be of service and to give to life, to give to others. And so the same thing that engages your prosperity principles, your ideas about abundance, your ideas about what was in the Daily Word today, about getting and giving, all of those principles also apply to the way you open your heart to other people. It applies to being able to be with someone, to be with them, to stand with them in the commonness of our journey. And that begins to kind of strip everything down to the bones, doesn't it? We begin to lose, the things that separate us, color and race and religion and belief systems and behaviors. And, you know, we talk about this a lot, especially in a time of such polarity right now, is how do we be compassionate for people who do things we don't like? It is possible, again, we're talking about paradox, to live in compassion and also holding accountable. Those two can coexist. And by necessity, they must coexist. And we expect the same for us, do we not? You know, we're the ones we're least compassionate about. We're the ones that are, we're judgy about ourselves. Real judgy. And you can know that if you see somebody being very judgmental, they're really doing a number on themselves, more than we can see. So this last week, yet another shooting, right? It occurred to me in meditation, and I shared this with the Wednesday night class. I'm playing with this idea a little bit. I reserve the right to change my mind about it. But it seems to me that there is a common theme with unhappy young men who have been doing these shootings lately. There seems to be a common theme. And of course, we're looking at people that are under the age of 25. Their brains are still figuring out life. No offense, Dylan, but you know. You get it. I mean, you know not to trust your own judgment all the time, right? Okay, good. And you know your mom's going to help you out with that, right? Okay. I know whereof I speak. And so there is something that has gotten distorted in the minds of these young men. Something about anger, something about separation from others, something about the need to belong, something about being relevant. There are all these common things in them if you read their profiles. That it's almost as though they've become a distorted repository for everything that is dark in us as a human race. Now, it's difficult for us to see that. It's difficult for us to own the parts of ourselves that are also that, maybe not as distorted, not acting out upon it. But we all have some anger. We all have a need to belong. We all have a sense of separation that we would like to bridge. We all have a sense of frustration. And I think we've all known people who, because of childhood experiences and conditioning or mental health issues, have distorted something up there. Now, if you look at it dispassionately that way, it's a little bit easier to have compassion on the tormented who carry out their torment on others. I'm making a big ask here. Huge ask. But if we're going to bring about healing on the planet, those people need healing as well. Do they not? And how can we contribute to that healing? Yeah, I have to keep deep breathing on this. Because this is a huge challenge for us as spiritual people. You know, we'd like to just reserve all of our feelings and our compassion and our prayers for the victims. And of course we do. It's hard to be generous in our hearts with people who would do bad things. And if compassion comes from a starting place of deep, deep sorrow for them, for all of them, then we're making an incremental move in the universal healing that's necessary. So I'm asking all of us to continue to exercise spiritual muscle that's difficult to exercise. But compassion is a gift. And compassion is there because the world needs it, but it's also because we need it. We need to practice it. We need to be able to receive it. We need to practice it. We need to be able to receive it. And then we need to practice it some more. Compassion doesn't make us soft. What I'm talking about this morning requires an incredible amount of strength and commitment and fortitude and discipline. Yay, fun church on Sunday. But this is what it calls for. It calls for us to reach into the strength that is behind true, meaningful compassion. To say that underneath the behaviors is a soul. Wow. Yeah. And the other thing that we can do besides our prayers, besides shifting our thinking and shifting our intention, is to be on the lookout for anybody in our lives that could benefit just as we do from a compassionate look, a compassionate word, a compassionate action. You know, I don't want to be all Pollyanna and say, well, love cures everything. But love cures everything. We may not see the cure, we may not see the end result, and yet, we must contribute to it. We must contribute to the great pool of love that we all live in, collectively, a human family, and keep putting love in there, and keep putting love in there. Because I will hold that there is more love than there is fear. There is more love than there is the evil that humans do. Because my belief holds that love is a multiplying element. It is a magnetic element. It is an abundant element that grows exponentially. And now we begin to talk about grace, and that's for another talk. But what we're looking at here is our connection to what Annie Lamott calls. I posted this on my page if you want to take a look at it. Annie Lamott is talking about what she calls God, and she calls God Gus. Sometimes for great universal spirit. Gus. Hey, Gus. Sup? Need you right now. Isn't it fun to think of God playfully that way? She also calls God, when she prays, not me. That which is other than me. And of course, we know that God is in us and with us. And so it's important for us to be able to look at God transcendent, the not me, and the God immanent in me. And we kind of go back and forth on that, don't we? Yeah. No, it doesn't ever stop. And isn't it beautiful that it's an elastic thing in our perception of the divine? It's very elastic. It's very expansive. And that's what it calls for us to do. You have seen before you today people who are eager to give in so many ways, visibly in this community. And it's important for us to listen to that call. We're putting out a call for people who want to be chaplains because there is a voice in some of you that says, I want to serve in a deep and meaningful way, one-on-one with other people. I want to be able to hold the presence of prayer for others. I will stand in that place where the flame burns bright. And I will hold that flame without being consumed by it. You see? Right now is a time for us to creak open the doors of our hearts a little bit wider. And you know that there's not a limit to that. There's not a point where you say, yep, my heart's as wide open as it can get. No. It's bigger than this organ, this organ that responds to electrical impulses and keeps the machine going. There's always a chance for us to open our hearts up a little bit wider, a little bit wider, a little bit wider. And that's why it's important for you to remember that every inspiring word, every feel-good story, every brand new truth, every truth that has just come to make sense to you is like droplets upon a stone. And that stone begins to open up wider and wider and wider. So your subconscious is going to catch everything. Shift your focus so that you catch as many good, inspiring, truthful, authentic things as you can. Assist in the opening of your heart by being that to others, by being that to yourself, open and expansive and generous. Now, for those of you who are not extroverts, you do not have to change your comfortable way of interacting with other human beings, except maybe a little. Maybe a little bit. You know, I ran into a man at Dillard's earlier this week, and I believe he's worked 32 years, if not at Dillard's, then in his retail industry. But I think he's been at Dillard's that long. And he's a familiar face. I think he was even featured in the Austin newspaper for his just consistent presence with people, and he's so delightful to talk to and work with. And when I would take my children shopping as stroller babies, I would see Charles. And so Charles, of course, he may not remember names all the time, but he remembers a face. He remembers a presence. That's what makes him so good at what he does. And he asked me the other day, he said, how old are those babies now? And I said, almost 25. And I thanked him for being a face and a voice and a presence of consistency in my life. You know, I don't know that I even know his last name. But he has become part of the fabric of my life, and I'm grateful for him, and I would like him to know that. I need to express that. Say, thank you, Charles. And he's about to retire, so Godspeed, Charles, on your next adventure. And that was just one little piece of the week. But you know, Charles is going to walk around in my heart forever. And that is a room that cannot overflow. You know, it just keeps getting bigger to have more and more souls in it. I'd love to think about our hearts that way, our consciousness that way. It's what lets us meet up with people we haven't seen in years and pick up like it was yesterday. It's because they've been walking around in there the whole time. No wonder it feels like we just saw them yesterday. Our soul's going, well, it was. So there are little acts of generosity. I have a FedEx delivery person that only comes on my route periodically. And the other day, I did not meet her when she came to the door, but when I went outside for my parcels, there were two dog biscuits there. Because we have a glass front door and my dogs are always letting me know that somebody's there. And I knew it was her. Those little things. And my goodness, friends, do we not need that right now? Those little things. Tip somebody extravagantly if you can. The service industry's hurting right now. People are worn out. That medical receptionist you have to talk to that just drives you crazy. Try giving them a nice word if they'll give you a chance. If not, send them a good thought. Because the truth is, we can only guess what's going on with other people, and our generosity and our compassion requires us to not let that be a contributing factor to whether or not we're compassionate and generous. We don't know their story. Have you ever gotten upset with somebody who didn't treat you well because you were having a bad day? They don't know you're having a bad day. You know, Jesus was on the cross. And the story says that he looked down and he asked John, disciple John, please take care of my mom. While he was dying, while he was in extreme circumstances. There's a story that says there were two thieves being crucified on either side of him. And he was chatting them up. Asking about the condition of their souls. I watched a video last night of a Hungarian man who made a pilgrimage to a village in Hungary, where there was a rabbi who is revered around the world because he blessed people of all religions. He blessed people of all countries who came to him. And they experienced incredible blessings in their lives. And you saw this pilgrimage of people. There were the Hasidim and there were the Reformed Jews. There were probably non-Jews that were going to pay homage to this rabbi who had died. And the thing that's beautiful about that, just as it is going to what was supposed to be Mary's house in Ephesus, in Turkey, is that it doesn't matter what Mary did or whether or not she actually lived there or what the rabbi did or didn't do. The spirit that is brought to those places increases all who come there. Because there's a generosity of spirit inspired by others. Be that. Be that generosity of spirit, that inspires others. Be compassionate in a way that inspires others. I never heard anybody being criticized for being too compassionate. Maybe they didn't practice their compassion in a healthy way, but people who are truly compassionate, it's a gift. It's a gift we're given, and it's a gift for us to give. So the next time you're talking to Gus, or the next time you go into meditation to say, hey, not me, around me, within me, more than me. Expand my heart. Let my eyes be open to ways that I can be compassionate and generous in the world. Let me be that. Show me how. Because I guarantee you, the will and the means to do that are already available. And we are those people that are about the business of healing the world. Let's pray. You're already, even as you took that deep breath just now, you're already conscious of and engaging with the mighty spirit. And even if you think you might be an old dog who can't learn new tricks, no matter your age, we are constantly refreshed and renewed by the living, dynamic, vital, active spirit in our lives. So send your blessing out today in compassion and generosity to those who come to your mind. And then bring to mind those for whom it has been difficult to have compassion. And see them through the eyes of spirit. Cast the wide net of your generous compassion all over the world. To all the places that are troubled, that are hungry, that are thirsty, that are unwell, that are suffering. And let your compassion be a balm. And beloved, if there is a part of yourself that is yet unhealed, about which you have had judgment, will you for a moment lay down the burden of that judgment, the burden of that frustration. And embrace yourself with the arms of God. Knowing that right now, you are doing the very best that you know how to do, and you are willing to receive more and more and more enlightenment and healing. Take your compassion and generosity, put it in your pocket. Take it with you when you drive your car, when you go to the grocery store, when you deal with difficult people. And beloved, know that in your commitment to a new level of compassion, you may be challenged in the coming days. And when you are, take a moment to breathe and laugh and engage at this new level with your expansive heart. And breathe. And the peace and the presence of the almighty, universal, unknowable, close as our breath, God, be upon you now. And so it is. Amen.